Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the She's My Sister podcast. Today, we are talking about how to deal with toxic relationships and hate in your life. I think we've all experienced a toxic relationship at one point or another, whether we realize it or not, and we just kind of wanted to talk about the red flags to look for and how to get out of a relationship like that in the best way possible, and just dealing with those types of people. So, sit back, relax, and we'll be right back. So first off, we just wanted to kind of have a conversation about when we have experienced a toxic relationship, whether we realized it at the time or not.
I think it is easier, like Maddie said, when you look back on it. I think looking back at middle school, almost all my friendships were toxic. I think we all did this where we would, our group of friends would be hanging out together in this big group, and then we'd kind of make fun of each other in order to make everyone else in the group laugh. Mm-hmm. And that could be really negative. I mean, because then everyone, it feels like everyone in the group is making fun of you at once.
And the person who's being made fun of, they feel like they have to laugh or else they're going to be like, oh, don't, you know, take a joke. Mm-hmm. Stop being so serious.
Yeah, because it would be things that everyone's insecure in middle school, and it would be stuff that hit right at our insecurities half the time. Mm-hmm. And then if you didn't take it as a joke, it was, oh, you're like, come on, you're being so sensitive, like you're no fun. So the best response sometimes was to come up with something funnier and target somebody else to get the pressure or get the attention off yourself.
Well, I feel like you are pretty quick to think of like a comeback.
I think just, I mean, I wasn't innocent either. I mean, we all made fun of each other. It wasn't, none of us were innocent. It's like my whole friend group did it. And I don't think it was until I got older that I realized how that was really awful for our self-esteem, at least for mine. And I could see it affect my friends too.
Like, if you were to see a group of kids talking to each other like that, you'd probably think it was horrible. And they were mean to each other. But, like, see, for me, I didn't really have a friend group that did that to each other. It was, and I didn't have as big of a friend group as you did either. I had like a few good friends. And so like, I don't think we did that as much. There was definitely some of that going on. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. I don't think that that was as big of a problem. I definitely remember like individual people targeting insecurities that I had. I remember that all the way, like through high school even. Like, for example, I remember specifically, I was born with one pupil bigger than the other. So like the black part of my eye, one side is bigger than the other. And there was this guy in high school who, he noticed it, because when I'm in a dimly lit room, it's really obvious. One gets really big and the other one's like normal size. And he just happened to notice it, and he was like, whoa, what the heck is wrong with your eyes? And I told him, I was like, oh, I just have this, like, I'm naturally, like, I just was born with this or whatever. And most people leave it at that. And then he went on to, like, call me dilated. That was the word he decided to describe me as. And that's what he would refer to me as from then on. And then everyone would be like, why are you calling her that? And then he would tell everyone else. And it was this big thing. And it was like, I don't know. And I mean, I wasn't hugely insecure about it. But then when it was like, became my name, it was kind of, I don't know, people would make other jokes and it was just
also unnecessary. How uncreative is, I mean, he's so, right? He's not creative, like, come up with a better name than dilated, at least if you're gonna do that.
Well, he also had worse names for other people, like, he kind of could, but that's kids in high school, they literally prey on people's insecurities in order to make themselves feel more, you know, like they're better. And
if everyone's focusing on someone else's insecurities, they're not focusing on theirs.
Like, I remember people pointing out, like if you had a pimple, it was like, they would point it out. It's like, who does that? Like, let's draw attention to the thing that you're probably trying to hide so hard. And that's why, like, in high school and middle school, I seriously tried my absolute hardest to blend in and be, not draw attention to myself, because that was the last thing I wanted, was for people to look, like, longer than, you know, necessary. And so I remember I would wear like the exact same thing every day. My hair was the same every day, and I never switched it up. That was because I was afraid that if I did, people would say something. Because like, I remember girls who would like dress nicely for school, people would be like, wow, she tries way too hard. Well, who is she trying to impress? Blah, blah, blah. And like, oh, she's fake because she wears tons of makeup. But then the girls who were like wearing sweatpants every day, they're like, she's such a scrub. Mm-hmm. She never dresses up. She looks so dirty all the time. And so it's like, I always tried to be like in the middle of that. I didn't want to try too hard, but I also didn't want to not try enough. So it was like, which it's, we already have so much pressure on us at that age to be a certain way and fit in everything. It's just that much harder when you're like overthinking your clothing and your makeup and your hair to that extent.
Well, I mean, you can't win in high school. Mm-mm. No matter who you are. I mean, have you ever seen The Breakfast Club?
Yeah.
When they talk about that and they're like, you're either a prude or you're mm-hmm. a slut. Or, yeah. And you really cannot win. And it's so true because I was a prude for so long.
Same.
And then the second, I remember like a rumor went around about me in high school that was not true. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear about it until like 2 years later. Oh, and by wow. then it was like, well, it's too late to fix this because it's not true, but too late.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, so you can't win because it's either people think one or the other. Mm-hmm. But I mean, even for guys, like I remember in high school, a guy being made fun of because he was wearing athletic wear and it was all nice stuff, but it wasn't all the same brand. Like he'd mixed his Nikes and Adidas and this and that. And it was like, that is the stupidest thing to make fun of someone for.
Yeah.
And so people will find something. Like, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. People are going to find something that they want to have be wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Whether it's your friends or whether it's just a random person.
And luckily, like, if anyone's listening that is at that age, things get better. And once you get out of high school, it's seriously like your world just opens up and you mm-hmm. can be so much more creative, so much more expressive with anything. And, like, for me especially, as soon as I got out of high school, I felt like I could wear whatever. Like, it took a little while, but I definitely felt like I was able to wear more of what I wanted, do my hair mm-hmm. how I wanted, makeup, same thing. And I didn't feel like I had to try as hard. And
people stopped caring about things quite as much. I mean, mm-hmm. in college, people wear what they want. I mean, people ride around on unicycles to get to class. I mean, people just, they do what they want. If college is your next step. And if not, you're going to go out the real world with other adults that hopefully are mature enough to not care about that
and
sort of thing.
And in the real world,
anyway.
I would say it's even, like, less that way than college. Like, in college, mm-hmm. there still might be a little bit of that. But
true.
The real world, it's like no one cares.
No.
And
if they do, people are probably just going to think that they are the ones that have the issue. Like, oh, well, you're pretty superficial then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Or hopefully by the time you get into college, you just have the confidence, because you're older, you're actually an adult, to just tell people off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I loved wearing skirts in college. And in high school, I didn't really very often, which is probably because, yeah, I would get those questions of, like, well, who are you dressing up for? What are you mm-hmm. doing? I just didn't feel very comfortable with it. And I had so much fun dressing up in college. I thought it was really fun. It made my day better. If I liked my outfit, it made it less boring. And I had some girl in my class that kept commenting on what I was wearing, because she liked to wear jeans and a sweatshirt every day, and that's fine. I don't care what she wears. But she kept commenting on my skirts and things like that, and she was like, well, geez, like, how many do you have? And I was like, I got a lot of them. Like, I don't have a problem with it. Like, if she didn't like that I wore skirts, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter, because I got to the point where I could recognize, like, I think she felt insecure about how she dressed. And right. so she felt they needed to comment on what I wore. So after a certain point, you kind of get to the place where you can recognize why people are calling you out or making points of it. It doesn't make it okay, and it doesn't make it not feel good sometimes, but it helps, I think, if you can understand why they're doing it, because it's less about you and it's more about their problem.
In that case, I think it's also coming from jealousy. I think she saw the way that you looked every day and probably felt like, wow, I wish I could look that way, but instead I'm just going to attack to make myself feel a little bit better about how I look.
You know what I mean? I was even guilty of that in high school a little bit, because I was insecure. I mean, I think everyone is, but because mm-hmm. appearances are so focused upon in high school, obviously I thought about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone in my high school girl that was just, I mean, she's very beautiful and she still is. And I remember everyone kind of just wanted to hate her
mm-hmm.
because she was really attractive.
I know who
and
you're talking
even
about.
People, yeah, even people that didn't know her wanted to hate her.
Mm-hmm.
And they would find the silliest things to pick up on her. And I didn't actually know her very well, so I don't know if she's a nice person or not. I have no idea.
I remember a couple years after high school still hearing about her.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was like, yeah, you know why she has that beautiful hair and nails? She takes prenatal vitamins, as if it was like this horrible thing that she was doing.
Oh my gosh, she takes care of herself.
I was like, who cares if she takes yeah. prenatal vitamins? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That was just, people will find anything to hate someone.
I mean, people, yeah, they call her out and her like, I lash her for this, for that. And I was like, well, you know what? You could do that too. And if you don't want to do that, then why do you care that she does it?
Mm-hmm.
It was just, I don't know. It was just funny because it was the most obvious example of people hating someone because of jealousy that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
That or guys would dislike her. And it was like, probably because she wouldn't date you.
Oh my
like,
gosh, yeah.
I mean, it was just so funny to me how people were so willing to hate out of jealousy.
But people who don't know you, they're just going to take that as truth. And that's something I think you have to remember too, is that people will talk and they'll make up things. And a lot of the time, people will not question when someone tells them something. They will take it as absolute fact. Mm-hmm. Take things that people say negatively with a grain of salt, because
they careful might, what you pass on.
Exactly, because yeah. It might not be true, and you never know what rumors you might be spreading. And you need to get to know someone personally before you should be able to judge them or make any kind of comment statement about them, because many times I have heard something about someone being a certain way in a negative light and then met them and felt that they were completely opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And once you get to know someone, sometimes it completely just opens up your mind to who they are, and they're an amazing person. So I think that's extremely important. But so something I wanted to read is that some common mind games that narcissists use to manipulate. Negative humor, like the one you were talking about in middle school, is making critical remarks disguised as sarcasm or humor to make you feel inferior or less secure.
And unfortunately, this one does not stop in middle school. I feel like that continues. And there's certain personality types that are going to use that forever. And I think it's definitely a defense mechanism. I mean, if anyone has watched Friends, I absolutely love Chandler. I love him. But he does this. Like, think about... And I mean, it's a defense mechanism for him. Like, he uses sarcasm and says mean things to protect himself. And it's funny in that show, but it's a lot less funny in real life. Mm-hmm. I think that's very common. Like, people making jokes... to make themselves feel better, or to, you know.
And people can, if they want to, they will find something to pick on you for, no mm-hmm. matter who you are. No matter how hard you try not to be different or anything like that, they can still find something. Whether it's nothing, you know, or mm-hmm. actually something.
And people, I mean, I've had friends that are very, very good at this, at making jokes like this, that are not funny, that are not nice, that are not what friends should do, and are very good at disguising it as, like, I'm just joking. Or it's so subtle that it's the kind of thing where you're like, I know that wasn't nice, but I don't know if I can call you out on it because it was, like, kind of disguised as a joke. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I can call you out for being really rude and being mean just now because you kind of hit it. And if you have a friend that is constantly making you question that, like, can I call them out right now? That's a really bad sign.
Yeah. Well, and, like, this one, too. This is another common mind game. Constant criticism. So constantly marginalizing, ridiculing, or dismissing you, and dismissing you to make you feel inferior and to make them feel superior. So very
similar. I definitely had that with friends where I would say something that I was really excited about and tell them, like, I'd be telling them good news to my friend. I wanted to tell them something, like something I was really excited about. And then they would find a way to turn it into something that wasn't a good achievement. Mm-hmm. And that would feel so crappy. And I didn't understand why they would do
like
that.
They couldn't be happy for you. They needed to mm-hmm. make it. Yeah, I definitely had that too.
They needed to make it not as good of an achievement it was.
Mm-hmm. And I think we need to also, like I keep saying, oh yeah, I've definitely had that happen to me, but I also need to think, like, okay, have I ever done this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it doesn't mean that I've never done these things if I've said it. I mean, like, I already admitted I definitely was part of the negative humor a little bit in, like, middle school and high school, and it probably, I'm sure it's happened since then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, these are things we need to watch out for as well. But that's one definitely I've experienced where someone kind of, like, belittles or maybe is very condescending when talking to you. I think that would fit underneath there. Mm-hmm. Where they're constantly correcting you. And, yeah, making you feel like you're not as intelligent or not as... like,
I had a friend in high school who, whenever I had something good happen, she would try and make it about herself. Mm-hmm. Like, as if she was the one who gave me that.
I know who that is.
Yeah. And I remember... like, when I was in middle school especially, I didn't have a lot of friends. I was new to my school. And so the ones I had, I didn't want to lose. And so mm-hmm. they could treat me terribly, and I was just going to take it because I didn't want to lose that person. Yeah. And I think that that's pretty common, too, is sometimes we may have a friend that we've had for... We could have had a friend for years, and maybe the relationship started out okay, but then it starts to become more toxic with time. And sometimes I think we have a hard time severing that relationship just because there's history there. And I think that's one of the hardest toxic relationships to get out of, is when there is so much history, because you feel like, well, I can't waste this friendship. We've been mm-hmm. friends so long. Like,
but we had so many good times in the past. I don't want to let that go.
Like, you make exceptions for this person, even though they might make you feel terrible when you're with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that you really need to just how do you feel after being around them? How do you feel after talking to them? If you feel worse, then that definitely is a sign that you need to make a change. Either talk with that person and explain what's happening, or just you need to start distancing yourself from them.
Yeah, I remember having a friend that I started to get to this point, because I didn't notice it at first, and I started to get to this point where I'd kind of get like a pit in my stomach before I'd see them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'd actually start to feel kind of nervous.
And like, I didn't what are have they going to say?
Yeah, like, are they going to say something that makes me feel bad? Am I going to say something they're going to jump all over me for it?
Mm-hmm.
And that is so bad. Like, if you're getting a pit in the bottom of your stomach before you're hanging out with somebody, that's a pretty good sign that maybe you shouldn't see them, or that something's wrong and you need to talk to them about it.
So throwing a tantrum is also a common mind game. So raising their voice, using a lot of gestures, and sometimes even physical abuse to get whatever they want.
Yeah,
intimidating and fear-inducing behavior. So that's definitely something that, for me, it never was like physical, but
no.
Throwing a tantrum and making a scene so that you just back off and you're like, okay, whatever. Like, just because you are embarrassed and don't want them to continue this behavior. And yeah, I feel like I have experienced that in a friendship before, and like, I don't like confrontation, I don't like people making a scene, and so if that happens for me, it's like an instant, like, I back off, and I'm just not a part of that anymore. But that's also probably the one that gets me the most alarmed that this is not a good relationship to be in.
Another one is gaslighting, and this is using denial, lying, misinformation, and contradiction to make you doubt your sanity, memory, or perception. I don't think I've had this like in a super extreme way, like maybe not the sanity or memory, but I've definitely had it with perception. And this was actually with a like boyfriend relationship back in high school. I basically tried to voice that I felt like he was criticizing me a lot and all these different things, and he just kind of tried to like twist my perception whenever I did that. Or I would try to call out how jealous he was and point out how like that wasn't fair, and he again would just try to like twist it and like tell I, you know, basically like tell me that I was crazy kind of thing. Or then if I ever got a little bit jealous, trying to act like, wait, where is this coming from? Like, I don't do this to you. You know what I mean?
Just, yeah.
That's
kind of pretend ignorance, playing dumb in order to get away with behavior of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like someone could have so many of these different mind games, and if you aren't aware, you could really start thinking like, well, is it me? Like, is there really something wrong?
Yeah.
Especially at a young age when you're so, you know, self-conscious and insecure as it is. I do silent treatment. This one drives me insane. Ignoring messages, calls, or questions to make you feel uncertain and to make you start doubting yourself. So, okay, I had a friend in high school, and she told me one time, oh, so-and-so told me something about you. And I was like, well, what did they say? And then she was like, oh, I told them I wasn't, or they made me promise not to tell you. So she told me someone said something, but then she wouldn't tell me what they said because she promised them. So she was supposed to be my friend.
What was the point of telling you then?
Because
what?
She wanted to make me feel like, I'm sure she just wanted to play that mind game on me, you know? And she wanted to make me feel like, oh, someone told her something and I'm not in that little club that was told this information, and I don't even know if it was true. Who knows if that person even said anything, you know? And I remember being so frustrated and so mad because I wanted to know so badly what they said.
I don't know if this falls, I'm not sure what category this would fall under, but I remember in high school, and even a little bit after that, having friends come and being like, oh my gosh, so-and-so said this about you and telling me, and it was like, well, then what did you say? Like, did you stand up for me?
And
like,
why
what
were
did
they
you
comfortable
do?
Telling you that?
Like, why were they okay telling you that? And why didn't you stand up for me?
Because if like, you were, yeah, if you were a good enough friend, they would have known not to say something to you about their best friend. You know what
like,
I mean?
Like, usually, if that happened to me, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Like, I'm sure there are times that I messed up and didn't do this. But usually, it was like, if someone said something to me about my friend, I either was telling them off and just wouldn't tell my friend about it because why hurt them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that definitely happened with this particular friend that did the reverse to me where she just told me that someone said something about me and didn't do anything about it. Someone said something negative to me about her, I would just defend her and let it go because what is the point of having her feel bad because of someone insulting her? Mm-hmm. Like, if I shut it down, why even need to tell her?
Right.
So that's kind of where, for me, I'm like, if you're going to go tell your friend that someone said something bad about them, there either needs to be like a really good reason, like maybe they're putting their trust in this person and they shouldn't. But if that's the situation, you probably should be telling that person that they're wrong and that they are rude. I don't know. If you're in that situation, I don't think you should ever just be coming back and reporting to your friend that something bad happened if you didn't try to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. The only time I could see maybe is like if they overheard a conversation and someone said something and you trust that person maybe mm-hmm. saying, like, I don't know if you know this, but this person said yeah. this about you. And, like, I don't know, maybe you should be wary.
So maybe if it's, like, overhearing a conversation, but it's not yeah. what you're part of.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't I can know, see that. It really kind of depends on what they're saying, too.
Mm-hmm.
But here's another one that I think is pretty common is victimhood. So I think we all know someone who makes themselves the victim.
Mm.
And, yeah, I don't know. Do you have any experiences?
I don't know if I can
one?
Think of like a specific example. Like I know exactly what you're talking about, but I don't know if I have like a friend that did this particularly.
I think I've definitely known people as like acquaintances yeah. or someone maybe who's in class and you see them constantly making themselves a victim. But I've never, I don't think I've personally been in a relationship where I had to deal with that too much, which is actually. Okay, so I did have a friend who would constantly make herself a victim. And so because of these things that she would victimize herself in these situations, she wouldn't participate in certain things. And because she wouldn't want me to. And if I did, she'd be mad at me. Like, well, I'm not able to, so why would you do that? Like, how is that? You know what I mean? And
yeah.
and so she would hold me back and make me feel guilty, which I guess is guilt tripping. Make me feel yeah, guilty for wanting to do something even though she couldn't.
Or didn't want to.
That's a very common one, I feel like, in grade school. I remember
mm-hmm.
I tried out for this, like, drama group, basically, like a choir group. And I had a friend at the time. She didn't audition because she hadn't really wanted to do it until I made it. And then she wanted me to give up my part so that she could have it. She told me to go tell the teacher that. Like, if you're my friend, you will tell the teacher. This sounds like such a little kid thing. But she was like, if you're my terrible. Friend, you'll tell the teacher that I can have your part.
Ooh, that's bad.
You know what I did?
What?
I was like, oh, okay. And I went in the building and pretended like I was talking to the teacher. And I came out like a minute later and was like, she said no. And I shouldn't even talk to her because I was like, I don't know. And I think that too shows I didn't want to tell her no because I didn't want to lose her friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wasn't going to give up my part because I wanted it. And so it's like, it's crazy because these traits can be seen in little kids. I think I was probably like 7 or 8 at the time.
And they keep coming out and later.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, maybe if you can, I mean, I'm sure everyone matures, but if you can kind of catch that behavior at an earlier age, maybe not let it grow into adulthood, hopefully.
Like there are some things that I didn't really learn how to deal with until I got older. And that was partly because I think the mature way to handle things wouldn't have worked on high schoolers. Like,
true.
Once, or middle schoolers, like, once in middle school, I was hanging out with a group of friends, and we were all kind of making fun of each other. Like, it wasn't even just targeted at me, we were kind of all doing it to each other. And I stopped, and I was like, you know, guys, like, we should be kind of, like, building each other up and start breaking each other down. And I actually said that. Which, to a bunch of middle schoolers, sounded like the most corny after-school special thing you could possibly say. And so they all just started laughing, like, making fun of me.
Yeah.
So, that is 100% true, and I completely believe that. You should build up your own friends, because there are already so many other things that are going to tear each other down.
Mm-hmm.
But my middle school friends were not mature enough to have that be a real thing. So it's the kind of thing that I learned how to handle as I got older because it gets better. It gets easier because people hopefully mature. And when you say things like that, they actually listen.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a friend who did have a problem. They kept being incredibly negative. It didn't start out that way. It turned that way. And we finally had to have a big conversation about it, that I was not okay with it anymore, that I wasn't going to deal with it, that I really cared about them, but they needed to be kinder to me or I was not going to stick around. And it actually got way better. We talked about it. We kind of identified some things that were happening and why they were happening. And it helped a lot, you know? And I mean, sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't work. But I think it's important if it gets bad enough to where you think you might need to talk about it, then you do. You need mm-hmm. to talk about it. And if they decided to change, that's amazing. That's wonderful. You can maintain that relationship. If they decided that they aren't going to change, that's okay too. You know, you're better mm-hmm. off without having someone making you feel that bad constantly. As an adult, if you have a mature conversation with somebody and they don't change, well, then they're stuck back there with my middle school friends and they are not worth keeping around.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like, okay, so I wanted to talk about making sure you look at yourself too when a relationship goes badly
yeah,
or feels
sure.
toxic. Like, for example, what you were just saying, like, if something feels off, having a conversation and just talking to them about how you feel and what's going on, because maybe they're not aware, but like, for example, when I was like a teenager, if a relationship was starting to feel that way, instead of me acknowledging it and having a conversation with them, I hate confrontation. So I would just start backing away and like
yeah.
trying to distance myself without explaining. And because of that, maybe the other person wasn't aware what they had done and why they had hurt me. And so I think they thought, well, she just isn't my friend anymore because she stopped talking to me.
Yeah.
When there was a reason, but instead of me having the courage to talk to them about it, I would just kind of back away.
And I know that can be hard because sometimes you're like, how could you not know what you did wrong to me?
Yeah. Well, but. And I have this thing where if I'm in like a confrontational situation, instead of being able to like say what I want to say, I start getting like choked up and like I can't like not necessarily like I'm going to cry, but I start getting frustrated and I can't get the words out I want to say. So I feel like I have a really hard time being able to voice what I want to say. And I think a lot of people have that problem. And a lot of people would rather avoid confrontation. But sometimes it needs to happen. I feel like you have to, if you want to keep that relationship or make it work, you have to confront these things that are bothering you. And that's something I've definitely had to work on as I've, you know, gotten older, is being able to say like, hey, I think we need to talk about some things. Like, you are making me feel a certain way after talking with you or hanging out with you or whatever. And if we want this to work, we're going to have to change something, you know, whether that's a relationship with a significant other or a friend. So I think that's something that I've definitely had to change as far as relationships.
I think you're definitely not alone in that. And there's so many different styles of like way you handle things, like different confrontation styles. And I remember someone acting as if that I didn't mind arguing and that I liked confrontation and all this stuff. And I was like, no, I hate confrontation. Confrontation feels awful. But sometimes I think it's easier for me to defend someone else than it is for myself. Sometimes it's harder for me to defend myself. Like defending you is like a gut reaction.
Right.
And I think you defend, I mean, you defend me too. That's something you definitely do. Like, right. I think don't tell yourself short, because it's so much harder, I think, to defend yourself sometimes than it is to defend a friend.
And maybe that's what I'm thinking of, because a lot of the time when I feel that way, like the way that my sympathetic nervous system starts kicking in, because like when it's about yourself, you're having to defend yourself and what you believe in. If it's someone else you care about, it is easier. I'll admit that it is a lot easier because... Yeah, like any family member I have been able to stick up for, because I'm saying I'm sticking up for your character, not my own, you know, which is kind of sad.
It's a different feeling, because in this one, it's like I'm defending myself from an attack. Whereas when you jump in, you're like, I'm just the person, like, you know,
I'm
I don't know.
Hero.
It's different. Yeah. Like, did I ever talk about that story when you were in cheer and you fell?
I think maybe.
I did?
Go ahead and say it anyway.
Yeah, I'll cut out this part if I did. Because once when I was in high school, Maddie was a senior, I was a freshman. It was the first football game of the season, the first home one. And Maddie was the flyer, so they were throwing her up in the air for cheer. And something went wrong with the stunt, and she fell and, like, hit her head on the ground. Like, I was, you know, I mean, it looked bad. But she got up pretty quickly. And right after it happened, some seniors that were sitting, like, a few rows ahead of me, like, one of them went, oh, my gosh. Like, they dropped her head. Like, oh, my gosh. And the girl sitting next to her said, like, are you kidding? That was great. They dropped her right on her head. And she basically just hated Maddie because she was a cheerleader, and that's pretty much all she knew about her. I mean, she didn't even, like, really know Maddie. So I yelled at her from, like, a few bleachers back. This girl, like, beat the crap out of me. I was like, hey, that's my sister, and got all mad at her. She looked back at me, and she was like, oh, like, Maddie? And I was like, yeah, like, I'm Amy Wilson, or whatever, like, you know, like, our name. Like, yeah, she's like, Maddie Wilson. I was like, yeah, I'm Amy Wilson. As if that meant something. Don't you know who I am? And then she's like, oh, well, sorry. And I was like hell you are, which as a little 14-year-old was very impressive because I did not swear at all. Even hell was a bad word. So she dropped it at that. And that probably didn't mean a whole lot to her, but like...
That was a win.
It was a win for me. I was like, ha-ha, I got the last word in and you didn't get it. I feel like I did that a lot because, I mean, people are awful. People want to hate cheerleaders just because they're jealous. It is so common.
That's kind of going back to the thing where people who want something, they'll try and act like they hate that person who has it because they can't have it.
And I didn't notice it as much until Maddie became one, because then I started hearing people say stuff all the time. People that did not know her, didn't know the other girls in the squad, because I knew a lot of the girls who were Maddie's friends, and they were all, like, really sweet, and a lot of them were actually very, very shy when it wasn't during cheer. And they were actually very quiet girls that, like, stuff like
that.
Probably
even the girls who
them.
Weren't quiet or
they
shy,
were still really
they were
nice.
Still good people.
Oh, yeah. Still, I'm just saying they were not, like, the stereotypes that people had of them in their heads, they were, like, they weren't that. And I remember the cheerleaders came out, and one of these boys was like, here come the sluts, and I just jumped all over him. And after that, he actually apologized and was like, you know what, I'm sorry. Like, I'm wrong. Well, and that was amazing to me, and he was like, you're right, I don't know them. And I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, like, sometimes they just need to be called out for what they're saying. And yeah, like, stereotypes are a huge thing in high school. Like, you know, everyone's got their little clique. And
such a big thing.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I mean, 90% of the time they are not true. And even if they are, you know,
then kids, who cares? Yeah. Leave people alone. Let them do what they want to do.
Unfortunately, kids going through that time are just very insecure. And I feel like so many of our stories are about middle school and high school. But like even as an adult, I have had relationships or friendships that can be toxic, sure. but it's in a different way and it's more subtle. And I feel like it's less.
It's almost more dangerous. It's harder to call. It's harder to call people out when they're subtle about it, and it makes it harder to stop them.
Or they'll start out being really, really friendly, but then when they get you as their friend or as their significant other, then they start showing their real true colors.
Yeah.
And that's something I think you have to be really careful about too, is because you get attached. They show you their wonderful, sweet side, and then it's like you get attached. Fun side. Yeah. And then they turn a little sour, like a little Sour Patch Kid.
Oh, well, now we're good enough friends that I feel like I can be honest with you and I can say these things.
Right.
So like,
yeah.
Oh. Well, you can be helpful and honest without hurting me really bad.
Right. And and something I think that's important is, I think in today's time of social media, like, I will see people who have these huge friend groups and they go out every weekend with these big old, you know, parties and with their huge group of friends. And, like, sometimes I feel this, like, oh, maybe I need that. Maybe I need a bigger friend group and I need more people who, like, I can go out with and stuff. But then it's like, when I really think about it, I think I would prefer to have a smaller circle of people who I know are quality, good people who bring me up rather than tear me down. Because when I have had bigger friend groups in the past, I feel like there was a lot of, and I'm not saying every friend group is this way, but I feel like there was a lot of these negative characteristics in that group, at least that I had. And I think sometimes we see these huge groups of friends and we think that we should have that or there's something wrong with us. But I think, I don't know, I think that relationships can come in all different shapes and sizes, and that sometimes you need to remember that a few quality people might be better than having, I don't know, like 15 somewhat okay friends. You know, like, can you depend on these people? Or are they going to be there for you when you have a flat tire, when you need a ride or something? Whereas, like, I don't know, I just think that's important, especially when we see all of these, I don't know, highlight reels of what we think relationships should look like online.
I think as far as the highlight reels go and social media, this made me think of something is sometimes when I am on social media, it's easy to pass judgment on someone really quickly just from, like, a picture they post or their account or in the Explore page, people you don't actually know, and I would be like, oh my gosh, they're like this. Something I've been working on for a long time is that when I make a snap judgment in my head, trying to go back, figure out why I made that snap judgment, and try to get rid of it. Because it's almost impossible to not have your brain make quick snap judgments of people. It's like a defense mechanism we're born with to, like, categorize people. But trying to step back and then look back at it and change it.
Like, why do I feel this way towards this person? I don't even know. Yeah. Like, is it an insecurity coming from myself? And yeah, definitely looking, that's a really good thing to do, is to, if you feel that way, think like, okay, why am I feeling this way? And like, is there something I can look through into myself to change this reaction, I guess?
There's one that I had, and I feel like I was friends with this person for a very, very long time. And I don't think I really realized that it was bad until I got out of it. And they're actually the one that ended it. And I'm not saying I was a perfect friend all the time, but, like, when they ended it, I actually looked back, and then they changed their mind. So I feel like that's another toxic trait, is if they decide to dump you as a friend and then change their mind, like, 2 days later and go back. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a good sign.
Well, and they might realize, okay, I was a little bit rash in this decision to end this friendship. It was probably me. Maybe I should rekindle it. But if they continue having the same toxic traits,
that pattern. But basically, once that person did that, at first I was just devastated at losing, like, a friend. And then I looked back, and I didn't really miss them.
But
and
the
I realized
history was there. That's what we're saying.
I missed the history, and I think when I first was going to lose that friendship, I was so worried about losing the history and all the connections. And then once I lost the friendship, I didn't miss it that much because I realized that that person had been making me feel so crappy about myself. Because whenever they were insecure, and this is a pattern that's repeated, whenever we got into a new situation, like entering high school, which is something new, they got insecure and they would lash out at me and be more mean. We got into middle school, they were more mean. I mean, like, we got into, they got better after high school, they got comfortable with it, and then we got into college, it was something new, they were scared, they got mean again.
They needed someone to take out their feelings on, and that was their friend.
And then after they ended the friendship, I looked back and I was like, they were negative a lot.
Like, you kind of see the friendship through the good times until it's over, and then you start seeing all of the red flags.
And I started looking back, and they were everywhere. And it wasn't like there weren't good times. There were some really, really good times, which I think what made it so hard for me to see the bad ones. But did they
outweigh the bad, you know?
That, or, like, now I have friendships where I'm like, there are no bad times. Mm-hmm. There don't have to be.
Well, and some of that has to do with being an adult now, I think.
And I mean, so I have a friend that we've been friends since we were 7 or 6 or so, and we have never ever had a bad time.
Yeah.
So friendships do not have to be that way. And that doesn't mean, like, a good friendship doesn't have some bad times. I'm not saying that. Like, there are some friendships that are worth keeping that have had a bad time or two. But a friendship doesn't have to go up and down and up and down. I mean, like, you can stay just a nice level if things are good. Like, you can definitely maintain that.
Well, and something actually that I just thought of when you were talking about, like, having these really long friendships that you've had since you were really young. Like, I had this friend that I thought, like, we're gonna be friends forever. Like, you are my best friend. Like, I love you so much. Like, we've had all these wonderful times. And, you know, after high school, we started growing apart. And nothing bad ever happened. We just started growing apart. And when we did get together, the entire time was, hey, remember that one time? Remember this time? Remember that? We had nothing in common anymore, unfortunately, because I still love this person and hope she's doing wonderfully, but we just grew apart, and that's gonna happen because you change so much, you know, after high school or after your teen years. Like, you change throughout your entire life, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can still love that person from afar, you know, and be okay with the fact that you've grown apart. Like, it doesn't always have to end with, it doesn't have to be a big falling out for a relationship to become distant. Yeah. And
they definitely have friends like that where we just grew apart, and I wish them the best, you know. I even have some friends, like, I have a couple that we were friends for a really long time, and something happened, and we did have a big falling out. And even though I'm actually pretty okay with us not being friends anymore, doesn't mean, like, I don't kind of wish them the best. Like, there are some friends where something happened, and it was like, you know what, we were, like, 18, like, it's a long time ago. We were, I mean, I know you're technically adults, 18, but we were kids still. But, like, I still love and care about them. I think it's okay that we're not friends. I think it might be the best that we're not friends anymore, like, for us. But, like, I like watching them from afar and being like, oh, good, I'm glad, like, things are still going good for you. Like, I'm okay with us not being friends, but I also want you to have a great life.
And, like, I think that that is, like, a beautiful thing, because it's like, you can be okay with, you know, not being best friends anymore and still wish them well. And and that's a mature person to do so. Like, I think there's a lot of people who, they have a falling out with someone, and then it's like they hate their guts and they hate their family and they hate whatever they do, and they can't. And I understand people hurt you and it's hard to get over it, but if you can let yourself let that go, you're gonna be a happier person. And if you can just wish them well, you know, like, okay, this didn't work out, whether it's a relationship or a friendship, but I'm going to wish you well, you know?
And sometimes it's a lot easier to do that than others. Like, one friend I lost, like, I, it took me a long time to not feel bitter. It really, really did. Whereas another friend I lost, it was really quickly afterwards where I was like, we're probably never ever going to be friends again. And that's okay. But you know what? I don't mind. Like, you have other stuff going on. You have reasons for what you did. And, like, I had reasons for what I did. And it's funny. So me and this friend, we had this falling out, but we never stopped, like, following each other on Instagram. I don't really know why. It just never happened. And so for years, we were just those, like, super silent creeper people that were, like, following each other but never liked each other or looked at anything. I mean, just really weird. And then, like, years later, after the whole falling out, we hadn't talked in years, she started, like, liking my posts again. And I was like, okay, good. And then I started liking hers again. And so we still haven't talked in years, but I feel like silently from afar, we're, like, wishing each other, like, good things. Like, it's the funniest thing.
And that's, I think that's really cool that you both are kind of able to acknowledge that you were young and maybe things didn't go the way you wish, but you still are hoping, like, the things best are fine. For them.
Yeah, it's like, but I'm okay with, like, I keep an eye on you and see what your life's doing, and I'm happy for you, and I like that, and that's good enough. Like, that's enough.
Yeah. So something I wanted to talk about is, if you are in a very toxic relationship, and, you know, there's no hopes of getting out of, like, fixing this relationship, is how to get out of it. So step one is breaking all forms of communication. So create modified or no contact so that you have the space to progress. So sometimes I think I see this a lot with relationships that go south, like a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, where they're like, okay, I'm done. Like, this is not healthy. I feel, you know, like, this is a very toxic relationship, but they don't break off the form of contact. And so they, one or the other starts texting, and then they, like, you know, continue. And it's, so it's like they break it off, and then they're back, and then on and off, on and off. And, I mean, sometimes maybe they can resolve the issues, but, like, I know someone who always says, like, just block them. You know, mm-hmm. just as soon if they do something that's so bad that you feel that way, block them. Because if they try and talk to you, they're going to get in and they're going to be like, I'm sorry. Like, and maybe they deserve a second chance. But if you, like, if this is something you know needs to end, whether, like, it might be extremely hard, like, get someone to help you.
I feel like something that goes hand in hand with toxic relationships is oftentimes the person is very manipulative. Mm-hmm. And I think if that's what you're dealing with, then yeah, getting rid of all forms of communication is good, because if someone is that good at keeping you in their life, even though they're very toxic, they probably are very good at manipulating you.
Narcissist, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's probably a good idea to, you know, not follow them on Instagram, because if you keep seeing their face pop up, mm-hmm. how are you going to get over them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you keep finding, you know, like I know it's hard because it, and it sounds like such a silly thing, like, oh, delete them off Facebook or whatever. It sounds like such an immature, silly thing. It's not. Because if you keep seeing someone popping up on your feed, how do you let them go? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, I know it sounds silly, but it's actually a very big thing. It feels like closing the door. I mean, like, you're really, like, mm-hmm. when you're, if you completely get rid of somebody, you're like, I'm closing this chapter of my life. I'm getting rid of this completely. Like, I'm, and maybe if it's like deleting pictures and you're like showing it to the world, it feels embarrassing. But whatever it is, it's okay. Like, yeah. if you need to do that, who gives a crap what everyone else thinks, mm-hmm. or if it seems immature to delete them? Like, if you need to get rid of someone from your life because it's toxic, just do it.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
You know what posts I can't stand that I see on social media are the ones that are like, it'll show like a girl and she's posted a boyfriend and she's like, oh, you're my whole world. And then they're like, well, what are you trying to do? Build a whole solar system? You've had enough worlds in this year to build one. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh. Like, they're making I see it all the time. They make fun of girls who, I feel like it's never guys. But they always make fun of girls who constantly, like, have new relationships. But it's like, okay, would you rather they stayed in a toxic one for, like, mm-hmm. a long time so that you feel suitable, that that's a long enough time to be in a relationship? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was me in high school. That was something I got made fun of, like, by my own friends for in high school. Because I would date a guy for, like, a month or something. And I realized, you know what? Like, this isn't right. Like, I know this is not going to last. Mm-hmm. I just know it. So I'm going to get out of it.
And you're literally a teenager. Like, what?
I was a teenager. Like, why am I supposed to get married to these people I'm dating when I'm 15? Like, mm-hmm. what is... I don't know. It was like they expected me to date the guys for years. And that's fine if they wanted to do that.
If it's a good relationship.
Mm-hmm. But I would, instead of wasting, if I knew it was wrong, why would I waste a year or months if I was mm-hmm. like, I know this is wrong. Why not just break up with them now?
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem is my high school, I don't know why boys did this. Everyone did this. They would ask you to be their girlfriend and then you'd go on dates. It was the most backward situation ever. It was totally a thing.
That's high school for you, though.
That's high school, though. Yeah, it's totally. So, I mean, like, you date someone, then you'd be like, oh, this was a mistake. Let me out.
Like, as an adult, you date someone, you get to know them, and then you form a relationship.
Yeah, you go on dates with people and you find one you like. Yeah. But I went on date, you know, I would date someone, and then I would break up with them, and I was fine with that. Like, I wasn't hurt, and, like, usually they were fine, too. Like, we were young, it didn't mean that much.
Mm-hmm.
And I dated people, and I found what I appreciated, I found what I liked, until I found the most amazing relationship ever and got married, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm really grateful that I dated some people and learned...
what not to look
for. Yeah, and I learned what I did appreciate, what I did value,
mm-hmm.
until I found someone that was just absolutely perfect for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why people seem to have an issue with that when you're, like, even in college or even when you're younger. And I had other girls that told me this. They were like, I don't like breaking up with people because I get judged. People tell me that I hop around or jump around or, like, you know, those things.
And that's terrible, because then they might be staying in a relationship mm-hmm. they know is wrong.
Because they want to look like, you know, like, they want to remain consistent. They want to look like they stick to what they said before.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a relationship and you're not happy, get out. Who gives a crap? Because then some of those girls that made fun of me mm-hmm. for breaking up with guys quickly wasted 3 years of their life on someone and then broke up with them at the end of high school and had, like, this horrible thing happen. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm sorry, you wasted 3 years, I wasted a month.
Well, I remember a big thing, too, in high school. It was, like, girls wanted to make sure they had a boyfriend around the time of, like, prom and homecoming mm-hmm. because they wanted to make sure they had a date. And, like, that is so, like, such a high school thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm going to stay with this guy even though he treats me like crap because I want to have a date to the dance. You know what I mean?
And for adults, it's like, I want to have a relationship around the holidays.
Yes.
Or I want to have someone to bring this wedding.
Well,
or
and
I want to have, you know.
Unfortunately, for a lot of families, if someone comes home single, they're like, oh, like, are you dating? Are you thinking about, like, your future? Like, when are you going to have, you know?
When you get it married.
Yeah, yeah. And that puts a pressure on people.
Mm-hmm.
But...
when people ask you that, just say, like, I don't know. I mean, say whatever the heck you want, but...
but remember...
don't worry about it. Like, if people talk about that or ask you when you're going to get married, when you're going to do this, when you're going to do that, just keep in mind that you are waiting for someone that's actually going to make you happy instead of being in some crappy marriage where you yell at each other or, like, where you aren't happy.
Well, and that goes for literally anything in life.
Anything.
Like, people... society has this set... like, plan for everyone, like, okay, you graduate, you go to college, you get married, you have kids, you know what I mean? And it's like,
mm-hmm.
it does not have to be that way. There is no blueprint that you have to follow in life. And I think when people feel that they are stuck in this, like, okay, I've got to do this, 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 and this by the time I'm 25, they're going to be so miserable because it's just not how it's going to work. So many people who are our age feel depressed and anxious is because they feel like they're behind. Because, yeah, it's like when we talked about the quarter-life crisis, it's that. Mm-hmm. It's feeling like you're not far enough for how old you are, or you're behind because you haven't reached whatever your friends have. And that's unfortunate because some people are going to, you know, find success earlier in life. Some might find it later in life, but how do you know who's happy, you know? So going back to getting out of a relationship with a toxic person.
Right, we got very sidetracked.
Yeah. So step one was breaking all forms of communication. Step two is healing beyond the emotional connection. So releasing the trauma from your being and heal the parts of you that require healing to wholeness. So that's kind of like what we were talking about, how with past friendships we may have felt frustrated or hurt or bitter right afterwards, but eventually being able to letting go of that hurt and even wishing them well. And
I think sometimes it can help to acknowledge why someone did something to you.
Mm-hmm. Like they might have been going through something at the time.
Yeah, something I've had to say. And this does not excuse behavior or say that it's okay for someone to treat you badly. But there have been times where I've realized that it's been some kind of like mental illness. It's either been depression or anxiety or something that kind of triggered the way they treated me.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps to help me understand why it happened, because it helps me feel better about knowing why someone's lashing out or why they're acting where they're acting.
And sometimes,
but it doesn't make it okay for them to treat you that way. And I've had to accept that too, where it is okay to be understanding and to want to help them through something, but also to remind them that they cannot make me feel bad because they are feeling bad.
Right. And for some people, I think also maybe whatever they're going through, they don't realize that they're lashing out and taking it out on you.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they just need someone to be there for them and help them. And maybe if you can just show them what's happening and get them the help they need, that's extremely important, is being there for these people. Because I have been in friendships like that where it's like, or just relationships where you have to help show that person what they're doing, because sometimes I think they're not aware, and then get them the help that they need.
Yeah. I'll also say that just because someone does have a mental illness or something like that, it is not an excuse for them to make you stay. I had a relationship where I kind of felt like the person was trying to make it seem like I was sort of like the band-aid for their depression, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
For this is like an ex-boyfriend a long time ago. And I almost felt this pressure of like, I need to stay because everything else in their life is going so badly. But like, I did not want to be there anymore.
Well, or even then, and maybe making you feel like, if you leave me, I'm going to be more depressed.
Exactly.
You know, like,
that's exactly
guilt tripping.
Like, it doesn't mean, I'm not saying like lash out and get mad at them back, but if you understand why someone's doing something and it's because of some sort of mental health thing, while it might help you understand, it is not an excuse and a free pass for them to treat you however they want.
Right. So step three is build your inner identity. So create a thriver identity. This new identity of a true self is a place where narcissists don't play. You, yin, they, yang. They exist in a completely different vibrational universe. So that was a little woo-woo, I guess. But let me read. Okay, so I think that having very like positive self-affirmations is important. And so here are a few that I thought are good. So telling yourself that I choose what I want to do and achieve in life. I am my own person and I respect myself. I will gain strength every day and I will learn and improve. I am my own boss and I will follow my own route. I am courageous and I will say no if necessary. I will never give up even when people tell me to. I am proud of myself and I will radiate positivity. I have the power and the ability to inspire others. And I believe in myself and I will back my opinions. So building yourself up so that people can't tear you down as easily, I think is really important. I think also when you have been in a toxic relationship, you start believing the things that these people are telling you. They're trying to break you down.
Yep.
And it's really easy to be brought down. So when you're healing from these friendships, relationships, just making sure to be positive and kind to yourself and trying to bring yourself up and build yourself back up to who you want to be, not what they were trying to make you.
I think something that has helped me, if I've ever dealt with someone that was really kind of harsh with me, or if I can look back and tell myself with confidence that I never said anything to them that was harsh or rude or mean like they did to me, it actually doesn't matter what they said to me. It makes me feel so much better because it makes me feel like, you know what? But I did not get to their level.
And like you tried everything in your power.
But like I didn't do what they did. I did not lash back and do what hurt me badly to them. I don't know, that just makes me feel better because if I can look back and be proud of how I handled myself in a situation, even if the situation hurt me, I don't mind as much because it's like, you know what? But I did good. I handled myself well. And that feels really good. Because if you didn't get down, you didn't go down to their level.
You didn't stoop to their level.
Yeah, when you're talking about creating the identity that like thrives or whatever, the woo-woo one. Something I do if I'm like stressed or if I'm having a hard time, and this is the silliest thing, but maybe it'll help you. I'll think of like different fictional characters. You can think of real people. I think of like fictional characters that I really like or that I admire or that I enjoy or I connect to somehow. And I think like,
you embody
this
that.
Is how they would handle it. Like there's this character. This is going to sound so cheesy. There's a character in The Vampire Diaries. And her name's Caroline, if any of you have seen the show.
Wait, basically, which one is she?
She's the blonde one. She's the one that's like the major overachiever that gets like, and she's like involved in everything, gets like an A in everything. And like, okay, so I like wanted to embody her in college because college was super stressful.
Yeah.
And there were times where I had so much going on. Like if I was planning the wedding or working on classes and working so many different things. And if I was overwhelmed or stressed, I'd be like,
What would Caroline do?
And then I'd be like, you know what? I would get it all done. And then I'd go shopping. And then I'd do this. And I'd still have time to plan the party. I mean, I would just like, you know, I would just be like, no, I can totally do this. Like, I'm going to channel some Caroline Forbes today.
I think that's awesome.
Or I would do, really or cool. Like, I would definitely go to Hermione sometimes too. Or if I was like, being a little bit of an overachiever. But you know what? I like doing that. Like, I like doing one classes. It made me happy. Sometimes I'd just be like, you know what? I'm being Hermione right now, and that's fine. I love her. So I could love this part of myself that's very much an overachiever. I can love that because you know what? So is Caroline Forbes and so is Hermione Granger. Or no, I would just, you know, I would just find just different characters like that that would make me remember what I wanted to be.
I think that's really cool. So. I think that that's like when someone finds inspiration or draws inspiration from someone, whether it's fictional or a real human being.
Obviously, real human beings help me too. But that was... I think that was just fun for me because it was like, I don't know, there was something fun about it being like a character.
I feel like I did that a lot in like middle school when like middle school was really rough for me and I would like escape from reality by reading. Like that's when I read the most in my entire life.
And being the new kid is not easy. It's like not. Especially in middle school, I thought it's like the worst time to be the new kid.
No, yeah, and it was a really rough time, but like same thing, I would like try to draw from those characters that I admired so much and try and be more like them. And I think that that's what's so wonderful about reading is being able to connect with a character and draw inspiration in your real life from them. So step four is connecting to your true source. So this is our true connection or true sustenance, which releases us into knowing at the deepest level of our being that we are adored and nourished beyond measure simply because we exist. And I think this kind of goes back also to the positive affirmations and reminding yourself that, you know, you don't have to be the most beautiful, popular, smart, whatever person to still be, you know, loved and an important being. Because I think sometimes going back to social media, we see this perfect person that we think we have to be liked or wanted, and that's not necessarily true. Well, and then, okay, so step five is just generate your own life. So expand as life force itself. So I'm taking that as trying to, you know, build your inner identity like we talked about before, and just continuing to build upon that and generate the life you want and attracting the people that you want in your life. Because I really do truly believe in the law of attraction. And if you, like, think positively and think about the life you want, you can start creating it for yourself. If that makes sense.
I like that.
Moving on, I just wanted to really quickly talk about being able to tell the difference between hate and constructive criticism and using that constructive criticism to your advantage. So like my love language, I'm pretty sure, is words of affirmation. Like I have to have people telling me like, you're doing a good job. We appreciate you. Like, thank you. Things like that for me to feel like validated, I guess.
Oh, I love hearing that. Yeah, I need that too.
So yeah, and I think that sometimes for me, if I'm not being told those things, I start thinking like, well, maybe you're not doing a good job. and maybe you're
not. So the lack of having them makes you think the opposite, kind of.
But yeah, and that's something that I've been working on being, like, I need to realize that even though someone may not be telling me these things, I can still be doing a good job. I can still be a good person and all this stuff. And this, the reason I'm talking about this is because I think it ties into criticism, because when I was younger, if I received any sort of criticism, whether it was constructive or not, I would take it badly. So it's like if someone said, okay, this was good, but this wasn't, I would completely disregard the good thing and focus solely on the bad thing and just obsess over it. And
I focused on that too much too. I was really bad at accepting criticism when I was younger.
Yeah, and that's something I've definitely had to really, really work on being okay with. So now when someone tells me like, okay, this was great, this wasn't so great, I'm like, okay, well, let me look at why and what I can do to improve and make myself a better person, and using it to my advantage. So even sometimes people will criticize you for something that you're not doing wrong or isn't constructive in any way. They're just kind of trying to tear you down. But just looking at that, being able to tell the difference is a big thing for me.
One way to tell the difference between hate and constructive criticism is what they're telling you actually helpful? Is it something you can change about yourself, or something that you actually need to change about yourself for, like, the good of yourself? Like, are they telling you something because they want to help you, or are they telling you something because they just want to be negative? Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference between being like, hey, like, I think if you change this small thing, it might actually really help you in your work, in your personal life, if there's something they're actually being positive about. Or are they just trying to kind of nag on your personality or on your looks or on this or that? Because there's a big difference between someone pointing out for, like, the millionth time how pale you are, which is coming
which
from
is something
personal
you
experience.
Can't affect. Yeah. You
apparently, can't apparently no one minds if they say that. I mean, because I really can't change that unless I've used fake tanner, which I like to, which is totally fine. Different subject. I think if you are someone that tends to be a little critical, it's not always a bad thing. It can help people grow. It can help people come up with better ideas. But I think also just keep in mind, it's much easier to be critical of ideas and things and people than it is to come up with ideas, or it is to change yourself, or it is to try something new. Like, if someone's trying something new and you're critical of them or bringing them down, it's okay to give suggestions or to try to help, but just remember how much harder it is to create than it is to criticize.
I love that. And also remember that that person may have had to really, really push themselves to, like, even talk about what it is that their idea or plan or, you know, whatever they're excited about. Remember that and be cautious and careful with what words you use. Always start with a positive. And every, like, two positives for every negative, you know, and don't even do a negative. Just say, you know, something that you think could be improved, or add to it, not bring them down.
Or maybe wait, like, if someone showed you something, think about how you would act if, like, a kid showed you something new. If they showed you how they learned a new, like, play Jingle Bells on the piano, don't be like, you know, that's cool, but now play me Carol of the Bells. Like, that'd be really cool if you could play that. Like, so keep in mind, like, how would you act if, like, a kid showed you a new talent? You wouldn't be like, cool, but can you do this instead, or can you make it better? Maybe bring that up at a different time.
And also, I don't know if this even relates, but people are so quick to judge and criticize when someone has something that's a small idea. But then when it becomes a big idea and other people start realizing it's actually a good thing, then they jump on board. So I think that's important for maybe the creator who is making something new or trying to build up the confidence to do that thing. Remember that at the beginning, you're going to get some backlash, you're going to get some hate, you're going to get some questions, and you're going to have people telling you, like, what are you doing? This isn't cool. This isn't, you know, whatever they might think. But if you believe in that idea and believe in what you're doing, eventually other people will too, and you'll find your people or that group of people who also believe in what you're doing, and it could become a huge thing.
And that's something I actually want to work on, is making sure that I am more positive. So remember when you first brought up the podcast idea, I kind of went like, why? What will that do? What are we going to use? You know, I didn't just think like, this is a cool idea, let's grow on it. I kind of just questioned it more than I would care to admit. So I guess that's something I want to work on, is making sure that, because things that I don't even realize how negative I might be being, making sure that instead of just questioning right to begin with, well, how's that going to work? How's, you know, like, asking for, like, okay, cool, like, what's your plan? You know, I don't know, like, listening more than I am questioning then, I guess.
Yeah, well, and I think that it's really, really hard for people to see what something could become. Instead, they think of, like, well, like, this is going to be a lot of time. This is going to be a lot of work. Is it really going to benefit us? Is it going to give us anything? Instead of thinking, like, further in the future, like, well, what if this happens? We could do this. And I don't know. I think that's something, at least for me, I've always like had really big like dreams and goals and stuff. And sometimes I have a hard time doing the same thing where I'm like, what is the point of this? Am I even like reaching anyone? Is anyone actually gaining from this? Is anyone benefiting from all this work I might be doing, you know? But then like one person will say something that you impacted them in some, even a small way, and it makes all of that so worth it. So I guess what I'm trying to say is if you do know someone who's starting something new or, you know, really outside of their comfort zone, trying to do something impactful and making a difference, and you see that, tell them, you know, mm-hmm. like make sure you let people know, because it can make a world of difference for them. They might be on the verge of quitting, and then you tell them something and they're like, whole, you know, the fire is lit again and they're after it again.
It makes me think of that post, and I can't remember if it was this little kid that either said they wanted to be like a doctor or they wanted to be an astronaut or something. And the mom says, well, like, you gotta do a lot of stuff for that. Like, you gotta, you know, go to school and get into this program and do this. And then the kid's like, well, that's just four things.
Yeah.
So I just need to do one at a time. That's just four stuff. That's how we do it.
That's awesome.
And I love that. Like, oh, I just need to figure out how many things I need to do. And it's just easy. It's fine.
Yeah. And just saying like, well, it's just a step on the way and I can do that.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's just a few things I have to do.
Yeah.
It's just a better attitude, because I have a tendency to be like, well, people are like, well, why don't you do this? I think you could be really great at doing that, because, like, you know, for a career and different things. I'm like, yeah, but how could I ever make that work, or how could I do that?
You always think of the reasons why it couldn't happen first before the reasons why it could.
Exactly. So don't be your own worst criticizer.
Critic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is, you can't have a positive mind or a positive life with a negative mind. So master self-talk. Say kind things to yourself every single day. And use positive affirmations to remind yourself that you deserve to give and receive love. So don't be negative like I am sometimes about my own plans.
We all are.
Let go of the past. Your past does not dictate your future and shouldn't control your present. Be optimistic. Flip the script. Rather than thinking of horrible things that might happen, consider the great things that could come from the situation. I think that's good. Yeah, think of the positive, like, because we... I think fairly often we think of the bad things that could happen if something didn't pan out, but we don't think of how great it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think looking back, I always love that one where it's like, you're going to regret the things you didn't do more than the ones you did.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, that's been true. Like, most of my experiences in my life, I look back, and even if they were a mistake, I'm like, well, you know what? I learned from it, or I enjoyed it at the time. there have
been things that I have tried, like, that I wanted to work, and they may have failed, but at least I tried.
Mm-hmm.
At least I went for it.
At least you know.
Yeah, at least I know. And there are things that I have tried and have worked, and so it's like, well, thank goodness I did it. You know, thank goodness I tried and went for it, because everything inside of you is telling you why you can't. Like, that self-doubt mm-hmm. is so strong sometimes that, like, that's actually my number one. I already wrote out my goals for 2020 and stuff, and my number one is to stop doubting myself.
Gosh, you were so much more organized than me. That should be mine.
I got a planner for Christmas, so I was excited. But yeah, like, that is a huge goal for me, because it's something I really have struggled with. But remember that the self-doubt inside of you is so much stronger than probably the people outside doubting you.
Yeah.
You know, you have to remember that that's skewed a little bit.
And a lot of times more people are rooting for you than you think,
mm-hmm.
I think.
And they just may not be telling you, but they're out mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, for sure. I think I was in better goals. Last year, my goal was to drink more water.
Okay, that's a goal.
I really need a better goal. I didn't do very well. Next is celebrate the small wins. Every single accomplishment and win should be celebrated, even the small ones. So even if I drank a lot of water one of the days, that was good.
Better than none of the days.
Let go of bad behavior and habits. Stop complaining, stop dwelling on negative situations, and don't act impulsively. I think stop complaining might actually be the biggest one I want to work on.
Yeah, that's actually really hard. I remember one day...
it's really hard for me, because I've been trying to work on it for a while, and it's one of my biggest things I want to work on, because I have the hardest time not complaining about how cold it is in Alaska.
Yeah, like, I'm so cold, or I'm so tired is mine. I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. I'm so worn out. Like, I say those things way more than I should. Mm-hmm. And yes, maybe I am feeling that way, but if I keep saying it to myself, I'm just going to feel more that way.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of saying that, I should say, no, like, I have more energy. I have the ability to work. I have the ability to go to the gym. I'm healthy. I have a strong body. Yeah. And, like, thinking about the things that we should be, that we take for granted every day.
Yep.
Like, that's something huge, that just being more grateful for the basic things that we have that other people may not, you know?
Because I mean, so right now, one of the biggest things that I feel like I find myself being kind of negative about or complaining about is I recently moved to Alaska, and there's times that I'm still kind of worried, you know, kind of figuring that out.
Mm-hmm.
But I found the times that I'm focusing on the positives, and there actually are a lot of them, when I'm doing that, I'm enjoying it a lot more.
Right.
It's when I start to get negative, and I start to go like, oh, it's so dark, and it's so cold, and this and that, I feel so much worse about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I actually just vocalize all these things like, wow, it's gorgeous out here, this is the greatest sledding ever, or wow, what a cool glacier. You know, when I focus on those things, I feel so much better about, wow, this cool adventure I'm getting to go on living in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
It's much less like, wow, I've been sent to the Arctic. It's more like, what a cool adventure I'm getting to do that a lot of people put on their bucket list.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So yeah. It's just, I think changing the way I think about things is huge.
Yeah, for
hey,
sure.
Hey, there's my new goal for 2020. I'm gonna stop complaining.
Yeah, and also, like, going into the new year, I know that people have a lot of strong opinions about New Year's resolutions and all that, but I do believe in setting goals, and I almost see every Monday as a fresh start. Like, I've been trying to make myself feel that way, because sometimes we think, like, oh, the New Year's the only time that we can make new goals. Remember, like, say you start a New Year's resolution and you don't stick with it, you can always pick it back up. A month or two later, like, there's no reason why.
You can pick it up the next year.
Yeah. Well, let's try and pick it up.
Yeah. Sooner. No, but I mean, it can continue. Like, you don't have to, your goal doesn't have to get completely fixed.
Yeah, I had, for the last, like, 2 or 3 years, I've had the goal of reading a book a month, and I haven't done it yet. So I'm going to continue setting that goal and hoping that I can get to it, but maybe I need to set steps that are, like, you know, a little more clarifying. Yeah. SMART goals.
There you go. Yep, I remember that from school.
What is it? Sustainable, measurable, I don't know.
Attainable.
Timely is the last one.
That was
one.
Attainable, yeah.
Maybe it's attainable.
What was R?
Yes, there is.
So what does the R stand for?
Sustainable, maybe we should do a whole New Year's resolutions goals podcast.
Yeah.
Episode. I think that would be good.
Be fun.
Because this one has been going on a little bit longer than I thought it was going to. Honestly, when I picked this topic, like, I knew we'd be able to do a whole episode on it, but I didn't realize how much we would be able to talk about. And I actually, this is, like, one of my favorite episodes so far. I feel like we've really gone into.
If you don't pause, people don't question it. Just go.
I feel like we've really been able to just look into, you know, our relationships. And I think these are so common in so many people, mm-hmm. and just need to be talked about maybe a little bit more.
Actually making me examine myself a lot more too, and being like, yes. Oh crap, do I do any of this? Like,
yeah. Yeah. And I think that's really important too, is just being able to look at yourself first.
Sometimes I think about the people that are, like, the most fun to be around. Do you remember in New Girl when they find Schmidt's list of New Year's resolutions, and one of them is find out where Winston gets his sparkle and steal it?
That's so funny.
I want to find where he gets his sparkle and steal it.
Yeah.
But
so we've been talking now for quite some time. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up.
Thanks for sticking with us this long if you made it to the end.
Yeah, and we really hope that you got something out of this. And if you did, remember how much it helps to tell people what you feel and leave us a rating and review, because that greatly helps us and it brightens our day.
And you guys, we've got some people that have messaged us instead of just reviewing, and it makes the biggest difference. I mean, when people message us and tell us how much we like the podcast, we, like, send it to each other in a group text, and we talk about it, and we're, like, so excited. Like, everyone, yeah. We're very, very excited when you send us things, so please do. We'll say who, but someone messaged us and said, like, you girls are awesome and truly inspiring. Love hearing all your stories. I feel like I have a sisterhood with you girls. That is exactly how we want people to feel. We want to feel like we're just kind of chatting in the same room with you. So if you have any comments or even any constructive criticism, we are so happy to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, even give us ideas for future podcasts.
Did you already say to follow us on Instagram?
And follow us on Instagram at She's My Sister Podcast.
And yeah, we love you guys, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen along with our conversations. And mm-hmm. we hope you have a wonderful rest of your 2019, if this even comes out in 2019. If not, we hope you're having a happy new year. Thank you so much for listening to the
She's My Sister podcast.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.